Ready?
Yeah, we're ready.
Dear Heavenly Father, I just thank you for the rain, and we need it so much, Lord. So I just praise you for that, and I just thank you for this class and for everyone that's here. And I pray that you open our hearts and our minds, Lord, that we can learn more and then use it, Lord, as we leave these walls. Use it to tell people about you and to grow in your grace, Lord. We ask this all in your Son, Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. We're in the second chapter of the Gospel of John, but we're going to go into the third chapter too. And when you get to the third chapter, you might think you know the third chapter of the Gospel of John, the Nicodemus interview. But when you go to this, you're going to learn a lot of things about what happened there. All right. Where did we finish last week? You remember? This is a test.
Did we stop at verse 6?
All right. Verse number 6. And that's where Jesus had turned the water into wine. What kind of wine was it? Do you remember the word for wine?
Oinos.
What's the word for grape juice? That's a little harder. Genomatos teison plu. This was not grape juice, was it? This was oinos. That's what it said. This is wine. This is alcoholic wine. He'd made it, and it was really good wine. Let's go on down a little bit further here. Till we come to verse number 13 is where we went to there and we found out also that Jesus had brothers. And the word brothers there means what?
From the same womb.
From the same womb. So that was Mary's children. Not talking about Joseph's children by a former wife or something else, but these are children from the same womb. Adelphos and Adelphe, all right? Which means from the same womb. Now let's go to the Passover and the cleansing of the temple. And the Passover of the Jews was at hand, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. And he found in the temple those who were selling oxen, sheep, and doves, and the money changers seated. What about these money changers? What about this money? Jason, do you know anything about this temple money? Huh? How about that young man over there? Going into seminary student. How about this money? Where did it come from? All right. You go down there by Damascus, Syria, down there. Yes.
The money changers were ripping off the people that were coming to do their sacrifice.
Yes, they were.
By charging them unbelievable. They were, what's the phrase for loan sharks?
Yes. Now remember, they were charging interest, which it was forbidden to charge interest, wasn't it? That was they're breaking the law by doing what they did. Not only that, but down by Damascus, the only place that they could have money, it had to be printed with that money. It had to be that coinage. So they had to change whatever money they had. They charged them interest to do it, and then they jacked up the price of the dove. They would look at their lambs, they'd look at their doves and everything. These aren't quite. Look at this little spot here, and then they'd have to sell them a new one. And so they were making money on all different angles. Now that's the story behind it. Not only this, but these were benches. What does the word bankrupt mean? Bankrupt. Bankrupt. Sharon? Bankrupt. What does bankrupt mean? How many of you know that? Bankrupt.
Break the bench.
Broken bench. Broken bench. Bankrupt. See, those benches were banks. That's where banks. And they took that after the pagans. This didn't come from the Lord. This comes straight out of paganism. Now, every pagan temple had a banker in it, and he had his bench there, which was called the bank. Okay? And he would go in there, and people would come in, and they would deposit money with him. And he would say, I'm going to give you so much interest on it. And he would invest the money. Now, if he was a loan shark or a bad investor or anything, if he was an unscrupulous character, they would take him and break his bench. And he would be bankrupt. They would publicly whip him and publicly print in the papers or whatever announcement that this scoundrel was a rat. Come over here and we'll try to recover your losses. And not only that, they would take him out and execute him. And of course, most of this time, they would have been executed by crucifixion during this period of time. So now this is what we have. We have a pagan practice brought into the temple of God. in the temple area. It wasn't in the temple itself. It's in the temple area. And around the temple area, they were doing all this before they go in there, and they were ripping everybody off, exchanging the money and everything else, selling livestock, and here all of this was. So Jesus comes in here to a totally corrupt religion. He is a legitimate king for this totally corrupt religion. Okay? He is a legitimate king. He's of Joseph. Which gospel has Jesus' legal lineage to the heir to the throne of Israel? Yes, Matthew. Okay? Which gospel has the lineage of Jesus to Adam to show us that he's our kinsman redeemer all the way back? Huh? Luke. Luke looked at Jesus as what? A human. Luke was an expert witness because he was a scientist, he was a physicist, and a doctor at that time. And so his gospel, when you look at it, you're looking at Jesus as a human being. When you're looking at Jesus through the Gospel of John, you're seeing what? Jehovah in the flesh. It doesn't disagree with the other Gospels. It's not, there's no disagreement in them, but he looks at him at a different angle. So now let's go and look and see what Jesus walks into this area, walks into this corrupt mess. And this is his temple. And this is his people. Okay? He found the temple. In the temple, those who were selling oxen, sheep, and doves, and the money changers seated. The bankers seated like pagans in pagan temples. Okay? Now, what would happen to the pagan man if the pagan priest that was a banker, what would happen to him if he was found out to be corrupt? Well, what was the first thing they did to him? They whipped him, publicly whipped them. So let's see what happens. Jesus is going to turn the customs of the day against them now. And he made a scourge, a whip of cords, and drove them all out of the temple area. He whipped them, publicly whipped them, didn't he? Say, you're bankrupt. You're bankrupt. Your religion is bankrupt. He was saying every lash he made, he said, you are bankrupt. You are unscrupulous characters. You're scoundrels. You're thieves. You're robbers. And they were. And he drove them all out of the temple with the sheep and the oxen, and he poured out the coins and the money changers and overturned the tables, broke their benches. You're bankrupt. See what the statement that he made here? You are bankrupt. Number 16, and those who were selling the doves said, take these away. Stop making my father's house a house of merchandise. All right? And his disciples remembered that was written, zeal for thy house will consume me. In verse number 17, and the Jews therefore answered and said to him, what sign do you show us, seeing that you do these things? What sign are we going to get showing that you have power, you have authority to do this? Well, he'd only done about 3 years of miracles, hadn't he? Proved it. He raised the dead. He had power over nature, all of this. Verse number 19, Jesus answered and said to them, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. Now remember, this is the charges they brought against him. They thought he was talking about Herod's temple. And he was talking about this temple, the temple of his body. Our bodies are temples that we live in. We have a spirit and we have a soul. And the body is nothing but a house for a while, a temporary house. And the Jews therefore said, it has took 46 years to build this temple, and you will raise it up in 3 days? Now remember, Jesus raised his own body up, didn't he? Now the Bible said the eternal spirit raised him. It says the Father raised him. Well, who did raise him? The triune God. There aren't three gods, there's only one. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is Ahad. That means one in Hebrew, one. But he was speaking of the temple of his body. Verse number 22. And when therefore he was raised from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this, and they believed the scripture and the word which Jesus had spoken. Now when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover during the feast, many believed in his name. And beholding his signs, which he was doing. He kept on doing miracles. Those word signs there mean something that is supernatural. That is a great miracle, like raising the dead, healing sickness that nobody could heal. The healing of a leper was something that was considered divine. Did you know that? A leprosy was considered absolutely something that was incurable. Very incurable. Now, people have tried to cure leprosy all over the world. But they said at this time that only God could cure leprosy. Back in the 1800s up here on Tejon Ranch, there was a couple of old cowboys up there. You know who I'm talking about, Marilyn? There's a couple of old cowboys up there. This boy got leprosy. And he went out there and he took his guitar and in the graveyard up there, Fort Tejon, he went up there and he sat out there where he was going to be buried and he played his guitar and he would cry and moan and groan and go on because he knew he was going to die. He was condemned. These old cowboys up there, and one of them may have been Tony Araujo. They had old customs that they had handed down in the Indian customs and everything else. And you know what animal can eat anything and not hurt it? What's the animal that can eat anything?
A vulture.
A vulture. Now, just hold on here. You know the story. Anyway, they got a vulture, and they put him in a Dutch oven and just boiled that vulture until it was just completely consumed and nothing but broth. They strained the broth out. They went over there and captured the boy, tied him up, took a funnel, put it in his mouth, and poured all that vulture broth down his throat. And then they chased it with honey and lemon. And they said he got over the leprosy. Now that's just the story that happened, that really happened and everything in history, but that's what they said. Okay. I doubt if it really worked. The boy probably just had something else. Maybe staph infection. Maybe that thing killed that. Staph infection, by the way, was a type of leprosy in the Old Testament. Did you know that? That's why that they had it. And even the mold in houses and things, this was a type of leprosy. And many of these diseases were called leprosy. But leprosy was something that could only be cured. Now, one time Jesus cured how many lepers at one time? 10 lepers at one time. 10 times. Every one of those lepers had to go and get a certificate of cleansing, and they had to say who did it. Now just think about that for a while. 10 times the chief priest and all these big shots had to know that Jesus cured these lepers. And what was the offering that a leper had to bring? A leper was a poor person, basically. But what was the offering? You remember what they did? They didn't have much money, so they brought 2 doves. They brought 1 dove. They brought 2 doves alive in a cage for their offering. And they took 1 dove, the priest took 1 dove, they would pull its head off, and they'd have a basin of what they call running water. It had to come out of a spring of running water. They had it, they'd catch it, this water in the basin, and they would drip all the blood out of the dove. They had to leave its head connected because it had to be in one piece still. That's the type of what? Jesus Christ. Then they took the other dove, which typified you and me and that leper, and they dipped it in the blood and the water of the other one and then turned it free. Just like that. That's what they did. That was the cleansing of the leper. Everyone, they had to do this 10 times in this one situation. 10 times they had to do this. Okay? Now let's go on a little further. Verse 24. But Jesus, on his part, was not entrusting himself to them, for he knew all men. He could look into their hearts, remember. And because he did not need anyone to bear witness concerning man for himself, he knew what was in man. Now let's go to the most preached chapter in the Bible, John the 3rd chapter, and let's look and see if we can find something new in this old verses. And now there was a man of the Pharisees. What's the Pharisees mean? What's Pharisees? What does it mean? Huh? Right? There's the root of it right there. Or like this, either one. Pharis, what does that mean? Many, many tekel upharsin. That's a term. In the days of Peleg, the earth was divided. It means to separate. These are all, this is the root of that, okay? So we got a man that was separated from all the others because he was more holy than everybody else. That's what a Pharisee was. And the Sanhedrin court was made up of what? 23 Pharisees, 23 scribes, and 23 Levites, and one high priest. That's 70. And who originated the Sanhedrin court? Who was the man that originated? You know that, Montana? Who's the man that did that?
I don't remember.
What's it? Sharon.
Jethro,
Moses' father-in-law, which was a Midianite, which was one of Abraham's descendants, through Keturah. Keturah was half Japhethite. Okay? She was half Japhethite because Keturah was a Japhethite. She was of the lineage of Japheth. All right? Now, with this man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus. Now, what does Nicodemus mean? Nicodemus.
I know that.
Oh, I know you do. See, he's been reading a lot. You've been reading a lot of Western civilization and ancient history, haven't you?
Yeah. People ruler.
People rulers. Yeah. And it means the word demos. Okay, what kind of people is that? That's a mob. That's a mob. In other words, he was a mob breaker. He was a powerful man, would go in and break up these mobs and things. That's what Nicodemus, that's what his name meant. And sometimes they would, and Nico is this word right here. All right, Nicodemus. So he's a powerful man. That's what his name means. And then it says here, a archon. Archon. Let's look at this word archon. Right there. That word archon. What about archon? What does that mean? What English word comes from archon? Archaic, old, but it also can mean, the Hebrew word rosh. Rosh. What does rosh mean? Head. I'll say, and the equivalent in the Hebrew would be rosh, okay, of this. So this means the absolute head ruler of the Jews. This is the big man. This is the boss over the Sanhedrin court. He's the boss of the Sanhedrin court. He's one of the greatest Pharisees of all time. This is the most educated and important man that ever came and interviewed Jesus, as far as we know, from the Jewish standpoint. And he is on a political investigation committee. And he's not the only one with him. He has an escort because he's going to go by night. Nighttime in that period of time, like out here on some of our streets, is not good to be out running around, is it? Well, back then especially wasn't, because you had the Sicarii all over. And who was the Sicarii? The Jewish right-wing radical mafia. All right? The Sicarii, which were the ones that were at the head of Masada. Masada was caused by the Sicarii. The Sicarii. Judah ben Yair, you know. And Barabbas, the one they released. They went into one Jewish village and killed 7,000 women and children. They took people hostage. They would ask a ransom for them. They'd kidnap people. They'd do all these wonderful people that they wanted to turn loose instead of Jesus, you know. All of those three people that were supposed to be crucified were Sicarii. How many of Jesus' disciples were Sicarii? Name them. How many?
Two.
Judas Iscariot.
And Simon? Zealot.
Oh, Simon the Zealot. And who else?
Judas Iscariot.
Who else? We got Judas Iscariot and Simon. Who else? Who else? Yes. Paul the Apostle. Paul the Apostle was a zealot. Who else? Who else? Who else? Maybe. The man that carried Jesus' cross. All right. That was area that where he came from was a zealot or a Sicarii stronghold. Okay. So we may have four of them. Okay. Now, let's go on. Now, this man is a representative of the Sanhedrin court. He's not by himself, and we will see that in the Greek language, because he will use you all when he's talking about Sanhedrin court. And when he talks straight to Nicodemus, he'll say you, singular. In Greek, you see the singular and plural. You don't see it in English. A ruler of the Jews. This man came by night and said to him, Rabbi. Rabbi. What does rabbi mean?
Teacher.
Doctor of theology. Master teacher. Rabbi, we know. Gnoskomen. We know. Now, what is we? Singular, plural. All right. First person singular is what? I. Second person singular. You. Third person singular. He. All right. She or in it. First person plural. We. Second person plural. You all. Okay. Now you're going to see this all the way through this little discourse here. And then third person plural. They. All right. Now let's look at the third chapter of John in a different light, because we see all the players now. It's not just Nicodemus and Jesus, is it? It's the whole Sanhedrin court that we have a committee there. Nicodemus is the leader of the committee, all right? We know. Who's we? The whole Sanhedrin, the Levites, the priest, the high priest. We know that you have come from God. Look at that. Isn't that shocking? We know that you've come from God as a teacher. Not Messiah, but as a teacher. We know that God's inspired you to teach us. Okay? We won't say that you're Messiah. We won't say that. But we know that you're a master teacher. We know that you confound all of the sages. For no one can do these miracles, signs, tremendously paranormal activity beyond anything that any human can do. Now we find out later on when we studied the extra-biblical evidence of Jesus' life. Remember when we did that? We had from the Jewish background. We had from the Roman background. We had Pontius Pilate's report. We had Tiberius Caesar's report and all kinds of them. And all of the Jewish people that historians that wrote down, they said Jesus did miracles, that he's supposedly born of a virgin in Bethlehem, you know, that he was raised the dead. But they said that he did all of these great miracles by the power of Satan himself, that he was in league with Satan to confuse the people. All right? Historical evidence. There's as much historical evidence about Jesus' life. There is probably more historical evidence about Jesus' life than is in the Bible. Did you know that? Just not look at the Bible at all. You could find everything that's in the Bible that the Bible says about Jesus in the four Gospels in historical records. Period. A lot of people in the world today say, well, Jesus he's a mythical character. Well, I'll tell you what, all the historians that knew him and saw him wrote down, I saw him. They even said what he looked like. He had blonde hair, he was tall, he was thin, and he had what color eyes? Blue eyes. All right. All of the records say the same thing. Okay? A man can't do all these things unless God is with him. And Jesus answered and said to him, singular. Him. Truly, truly, I say to you all. Here we have, I'm saying to all of you, the Sanhedrin, the priests, the Levites, all of them. I'm saying to you all, unless one is born again. Now this word here is anagenesin. Now, a person needs to be born twice if you're going to go to heaven. Do you know that? You do. You're born the first time, you're infected with sin, and the sin comes from your father, not your mother, okay? You're infected with this indelible infection, death-dealing, terminal illness, the sin of man. Depravity. In one of my classes that I taught so long ago, I kept repeating, communism has never worked in the history of the world except among the American Indians. Because of one thing. You know what makes communism not possible to work? The depravity of man. When people get in power, they want to put it in their pocket. Look what happened to Russia. Look what happened to China. Every one of these countries, it all greed got a hold of them. I told you about Germany. If Germany hadn't risen up and tried to destroy Russia, we would all be speaking Russian and we'd all be communists today. That was a terrible thing when Hitler came up, but Hitler almost saved the world. And I think possibly that Roosevelt sat back and watched him whip the Russians to the point to where they might not be quite the threat until he finally came into the war. Think about it from that, a little political science and a little bit of Western civilization in that way. Every nation in Europe had volunteers in Hitler's service, in what he called his Foreign Legion. That was his SS Waffen troops. Every nation. The last ones to guard him that wouldn't give up were the Latvians. All the Germans surrendered, but the Latvians would not. They were going to save the world from communism because Russia was planning on taking over the whole world. Have they done that since then? Have they tried? What are they doing right now? Learn a lesson. You must be born again. The first time we're born, we're infected with sin, we're depraved. The second time you're born from above. You're born down on the earth. That's your first birth. Your second birth, you're born from above. And that's the one that gets you into heaven. And he told them, you all must be born from above. Each individual person cannot see or understand the kingdom of God unless he's born again. He just keeps going from plural to singular. Nicodemus said to him, how can a man be born when he's old? Now, Nicodemus should have known better. You think Nicodemus had ever baptized a proselyte? Remember the proselyte, the whole story. Nicodemus, they went out and made what we call Gentile proselytes, and they became Jewish. When you became a Gentile, when you would go to the synagogue and you would study everything about the Jewish law and everything else, they'd get up and they'd grill you and everything else. And then if everything was settled, that you had your mind straight, now what do you have to do? You had to have all your hair shaved off. You had to denounce whatever nation you came from. And you were baptized and you died to your old nation and you were raised anew as a child of Israel. And it was called being born again. So yes, he says, now what you've been saying all these years, I'm going to turn light on you. You people need to be born again. You are dogs. You are Gentiles. You are without the covenant relationship of God. You all need to be born again, every one of you. Remember, this is after the cleansing here now. This is after he took over his kingdom and he said, you're bankrupt, your religion is bankrupt, okay. So now what does he say? You all need to be born again. You all need to have a spiritual experience and relationship with God. John 3:3. Truly, truly, I say to you all, unless one is born of God, he cannot see or understand. Each one of them cannot see or understand the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said, and how can a man be born when he's old? He cannot enter into the second time into his mother's womb and be born, can he? Now, he was born the first time. That's your earthly. He said, I didn't say you were born to be born. It's really beautiful. The word Anna means what? Anna in Greek. Anastasia means what? Anastasia. Anastasia means resurrection. Anastasia with the prince's name, her name meant Anastasia or the resurrection. That's what her name meant. It means to be born from above. You already been born from below. You need to be born from above, people. You need to be born from above. He can't enter again into his mother's womb. And Jesus said, truly, truly, I say to you all, unless one individually, each one, is born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. All right? First of all, we know that we're all been born because you're here, aren't you? You're here today. You're in the classroom today. You've been born. We can see you. And all of these people that Nicodemus represented, we know they've been born because they have names. They have occupations. They live. They have families, everything else. Okay? But he said, unless you're born of water. Now, there's a lot of different. This, I think there's 200 and something different interpretations of this verse in the Bible. Dr. Bullinger calls this a hendiades. This a figure of speech, hendiades, it means two for one. Both of them mean the same thing. You're born of water and you're born of blood, okay? Born of water and of the Spirit, okay? Born of water. The baptismal regeneration is people say, you see, you need to be baptized to be born again because that baptismal water is what saves your soul, but we know that's not true. So it's not talking about that. You had to be born, maybe when your mother gets ready to have a baby, their water breaks. Some people say that's the amniotic fluid, you know, that comes out. That's possible. Water and of the Spirit. You're born first time, you're born of the earth, aren't you? Second time, you must be born of the Spirit of God. That's when God's Spirit comes and dwells in you and seals you for the resurrection. So we know, whatever that means, they're the first one. Well, that means baptism when the proselytes, he could have been referring back to proselytes when they died to their old nation and were born again. Yeah, you need to die to your old religious system, which was Judaism now. And come and follow me because I've established a church. Your business is bankrupt. It's over with. The law and the Moses were under what? The law and the Moses were under what? The law and the Moses were, the law of Moses, the law and the prophets were unto what? To John. After that, the kingdom of God is preached. Their job was finished. Jesus said they were bankrupt. He had already called out and established his church. And now the church would have the administration of the kingdom. Israel was no longer in the scene. So now he said, you all need to change. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. Your first birth, sons of Abraham, meant nothing. It means nothing now. Probably if you chased your DNA, you'd find out you're all sons of Abraham. Because Abraham had three wives. He had a Hamite, he had a Japhethite, and he had a Shemite. The ones that the Shemites try to prove their way all the way back to Christ through Shem, you know, through Isaac. But he had children. He had other children. He had more Japhethites than he did anybody. A lot of historical sources say that Alexander the Great was a descendant of Abraham through Keturah. We know that Jethro, the Midianite, was a descendant of Abraham through Keturah. He was half Japhethite. And that's Moses' wife, and his children were that. Okay? That which is born is flesh. You're just whatever you are, that's what you are. And that which is born of spirit is spirit. You've been born in the world, you're born contaminated. When you're born of the spirit, you're born again. You're born anew. Then you have the living. And he told all of them that you're dead in your trespasses and sins. That's what he told them. You are all dead. You're all dead men. Now he's talking about the whole Sanhedrin, not the whole religious system of the day. How many of you ever heard this story like this? This is a whole different story when you look at it from the background, from the biblical resources. Do not marvel now, I said to you, that you must be born again. Where the wind blows, or the wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but you know not where it's coming from or where it's going. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. And Nicodemus said to him, how can these things become? How can these things be? How can this exist? I'm part of this religious system now that you're saying is bankrupt. How is this happening? And verse number 10, and Jesus said to him, are you a teacher of Israel? He had baptized the proselytes. He had brought young men and young women up to know the Word of God. You're a teacher of Israel and you do not understand these things, what I'm trying to tell you. I told you plainly, your first birth, Abraham, you're Abraham's descendant, your flesh. You got to be born again. Everybody's got to be born of the same way. And you people are not born again. Okay? Truly, truly, I say to you, we speak that which we know. We speak. Who's we there? Who's the mouse in Jesus' pocket? Who's the mouse in Jesus' pocket? Who is it? Who's the we? Jesus said we. Who's we?
The church.
The church and him. The church was already in existence. The church and I. We speak that which we know. And we bear witness. Remember when the church went out on the limited commission, you know, when they went out and they went into the different areas, they told them to go out and they performed miracles, they did all kinds of stuff just like Jesus did. Why did they do that? To prove that Jesus was the Messiah and he had power to delegate authority to others. He had prophets of his own. They were all considered prophets, see. These were all prophets. These were all miracle workers. They had proof in the pudding. They could go out and do these miracles. Truly, truly, I say to you, we speak, Jesus and the church, that which we know, Jesus and the church, and bear witness, and we bear witness of that which we have seen. We. Okay? And you do not receive our witness. You all, and neither do you. You all, the whole Sanhedrin, won't believe. Won't believe. I didn't read Gamaliel's report to you yet. I might feather that in some class. Gamaliel's report that he went out and they interviewed all of Jesus' family and all of his friends and even rabbis that he had spoken to and interviewed them. And Gamaliel went back to the Sanhedrin because he was an investigator, just like Nicodemus right now. Nicodemus is an investigator. All right, he's gone and investigated this. Bear witness to that which we have seen, and you do not receive our witness. You all don't. You don't, and neither do they. Verse number 11. If I told you earthly things, and you did not believe, how could I try to explain to you heavenly things? You don't even understand earthly things. You don't understand that your lineage from Abraham means nothing today. The Jews, Abraham from lineage, means nothing in the spiritual point to you, does it? Huh? They're still ungodly brothers. They're lost. They're going to hell unless they're born again. God's going to send the tribulation period upon the world because those Jews to get them back to God because he made a promise to Abraham. And in the last days, in the millennial reign, this period of time over here, who's going to be the administrator of God's kingdom on the earth? Epites geis, upon the earth. Huh? Israel will. The church is going to be the bride with Christ up there in the throne room above the earth in what we call New Jerusalem. Looking down, a lot of people want to go into the kingdom of God, that millennial reign. To go into the kingdom of God, you got to go through the tribulation period. I don't want any of that. They can have it. These Jews today that were sons of Abraham, you get to go through the tribulation. You get to go through the fire. Because in the fire, then they are born again in one day, it says. They will be born again. Verse number 13. And no one has ascended into heaven, but he who has descended down from heaven, even the Son of Man, the Son of Mankind. No one has ascended into heaven, but he who descended from heaven. Okay? No one has ascended into heaven, but he who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. Now, what's he saying here? Genesis 3:15 has been invoked. Genesis 3:15 is what? The first promise of the Messiah. That was, all theologians believe that. Do they teach you that in the seminary back there in Dallas? Yeah, they do. Genesis 3:15 is the first promise of the Messiah. Absolutely. Let's go look at that for just a moment. Genesis 3:15. Genesis 3:15. That's the first book of the Bible, you know. What does Genesis mean? What does Genesis mean? Beginnings. All right. Genesis 3:15. This is after Adam and Eve had sinned. Now the Lord God is speaking to whom? Specifically to the serpent, to Nahash, which is indwelled by the devil. The Lord God said to the serpent in verse, because you have done this thing, cursed you are more than all the cattle and more than every beast of the field, and on your belly you shall keep on walking, and in dust you shall eat all the days of your life. Now, by the way, this serpent was probably the king of the beast. You know, we think about the lion being the king of the beast, but really it's the serpent that was the king of the beast. Verse number 15, now the first promise of the Messiah, and let all this succeed. Look and see what he says here. Now we have woman and we have man standing in the background, don't we? But we have Satan and the old devil is... Now, man and woman are listening. Okay? But the devil is the one that's absolutely... We got Jesus talking, Jehovah, speaking to Satan, and woman and man as standby watchers. And I will put enmity between you, Satan, and the woman. I'm going to put active hatred, terminal hatred, energizing hatred between you and the woman. And between your seed. Now, who's your seed there? Who's he talking to? The Antichrist. Literally, Satan will have a child on the earth like God will have a son on the earth. The Antichrist will be the literal seed of Satan. You go back in Hebrew and you look in the book of Exodus, I'm going to tell you something. A lot of people say, a lot of theologians say this unjustly and ignorantly, that Satan can't create. You go back there and you look in the book of Genesis and find out what all of those, what Jannes and Jambres created back there. They were doing some creating. But God's creative power is more powerful than theirs. And he can stop Satan's creative power. Just like that. Zip. It's done. Okay? Now Satan, according to Genesis, the sixth chapter, which goes way back in time, we find angels procreating with women and bringing forth a race of Nephilim, which means fallen ones. We find out that even after the flood came, God destroyed all those Nephilim, but even after the flood, there were Nephilim. Name some of the Nephilim. What are some of the Nephilim after the flood? Yes. Goliath. He was a Nephilim. Now, he was half angel and half man. Goliath was. Big, burly-looking thing. 9 foot tall. Who else? How many brothers did he have? 5. All of them were Nephilim. How about Og? All right, and there's a lot more of them, too. It names them. One of them almost killed David. David, when he went down and took the rock out of the brook, how many rocks did he take? Not just one. 5 rocks. Why? He's going to kill all 5 of the Nephilim that day. He was going to kill them all, but he killed the first one, and all the rest of them ran that day. Because they saw Jehovah God was in this little boy. Now David went on after them, war after war after war, what we call in these Philistine wars. And one of the Nephilim almost killed him, and then Jonathan's son had to save him. And they wouldn't let him go out to war. That's why he was there in the palace, looking down when Bathsheba was down there, because they wouldn't let him go out to war anymore. They didn't want the light of Israel put out by these Nephilim. And they went out and they finally killed all of the Nephilim that were the leaders of the Philistines. Okay? Now there is going to be, in the last days, there's going to be a child born of Satan, and he will be the Antichrist. Evidently, he's going to have a Jewish mother. Where do the Jews trace their lineage? Through the man or the woman? The woman. I will put active hatred between you and the woman and between your seed, Antichrist, and her seed, which is who? Montana. Who's that? Her seed.
Can you repeat the question?
Who's her seed? Who was the fulfillment of the woman, the woman's seed, Eve's seed? Jesus Christ. All right, see there? And he shall bruise you on the head. He shall deal you a death-dealing blow, but you shall bruise him as to the heel a crippling blow. Jesus Christ felt death on the cross of Calvary. He felt it. He felt the pain. He felt our pain. Okay, now let's go back over into John. Again, we got a little more background here. No one ascended into heaven but he who came down from heaven. Who came down from heaven now? The seed of the woman. Okay? As Moses lifted up the serpent. Now he's going back to Moses now. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness. Now the serpent usually is a type of what? Satan. But here is a type of healing. All right? Because who was the originator of sin in the garden? Who caused the rebellion between God and man? Huh? Satan did. Now, out in the wilderness, when Israel was disobedient, he sent serpents among them, what they call fiery serpents. Their bites were like fire, and it would kill them. Anyone built by these got killed by these serpents. But the Lord told Moses, go out there and take a brazen serpent. What's brass the type of in the Bible? What's brass the type of in the Bible? What's the type of? What's brass the type of in the Bible? Come on, Mike.
Judgment.
Huh? Judgment. Judgment. All right. Now, this brass serpent is the judgment of God upon us. As we see Jesus die on the cross of Calvary, we see our just eternal death. That's what we deserved. But the serpent there, the judgment was to fall upon the Lord. So they take this serpent up there, they put it on a pole, and anyone that's bitten, all he has to do is look to that serpent and he's healed. What do you think about that? Just look and heal, and you're healed. Just look. That sounds too simple, doesn't it? Remember when Naaman, the Syrian, came to the prophet of God in Israel? And he said, what do you want for... I'm a leper. You know, this is one rich guy. He was a commander. He came over there and he said, I want to be... I've heard that you're a great healer. And he said, what do I need to do to be healed? And he said, okay, go over there in the Jordan River, which was a muddy river full of salt water and everything. That saltwater springs coming out of the Sea of Galilee, running into the Dead Sea down there for all those years. That's where all that salt came from. Go dip yourself seven times in that muddy stream. And what did he say? I got that good river over in Damascus, Syria. I can go dip in. That's clear, clean water. I've been in that one too. It's not clear and clean anymore. It might have been long back in the name of time, but it isn't now. You drink some of that water and your stomach's going to go like a washing machine. And make bit dysentery. But anyway, he didn't want to dip himself seven times. And the assistant to the prophet of God said, hey, if he'd asked you all of this other stuff, wouldn't you have done it? He said, go dip yourself seven times. And the seventh time he went down there, he came up there and his skin was like a baby again, pure and clean because of obedience. God wants obedience from us. Obedience. He wants obedience from us. What we need to do is just look to him. All the world's got some way they have to get to salvation. The Jews had way. Oh, you had to do all these laws. Now, God had 10 commandments. They had 600 plus commandments. Jesus said, look. Look to the cross. Look to the cross. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so the Son of Man must be lifted up. He's going to be a type of that serpent in the wilderness, isn't it? That they looked to, and they were saved. All they had to do is look. That whosoever believes may in him have eternal life. Whoever may. Look at that volition there. Whoever believes in him may have eternal life. You may have it. It's up to you. Did they want it to eternal life? They had this representative there. He was representing the whole Sanhedrin court. How many of them were saved on the Sanhedrin court? As far as we know, only two of them. Who was the other one? Nicodemus and who else? Joseph of Arimathea. Okay. Verse number 16, for God so loved the world. Now look at that. Now this is something. This is something people miss so many times. For God so loved what?
The cosmos.
The cosmos. The whole created being. In the book of Genesis, it said, Barashith, Bara, Elohim, Eth HaShemayim, Et HaHaaretz. It said, in beginnings. Okay, now that's a beautiful word, Barashith. That's in beginnings there. There's another word in Hebrew that's for eternity, and that's Olam. But right here, it uses the word Barashith. In one of eternities in the past, in one of the eternities way back yonder, God created the heavens and the earth. In one of those eternities. Okay? Isn't that beautiful? In one of the beginnings. One of the beginnings. And God is going to... Now, he created the heavens and the earth. And then the earth, she became formless and void and destroyed. And then Spirit God went out there and put her back together again and rebuilt her like he does us in our lives. That's Genesis 1 and 2. We Haaretz. It says there that God went out over that mass, God's Spirit, the Spirit of God, Ruah Elohim, went out over the, and mourned over, and sorried over, and grieved over the earth that he had created. That's Genesis 1 and 2. Here we have Genesis 1 and 2 in the New Testament. For God so loved the world. He's going to redeem it all back to himself. He's going to have it all back. And he wants mankind to rule it with him. That's right. He wants mankind to rule the whole world. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. The only way God could get the world back is for the Genesis 3:15 to be put into effect. That mankind had to have a redeemer. That the earth and all of the elements of the earth had to have a redeemer. God didn't create man from a mud doll, did he? Those of you that have studied Hebrew with me, what did he create him from? From the same elements that he created the dust of the ground. Not from dust. If he created him from dust, he'd be a secondary creation. Man is a primary creation to God. He came from the same elements as he created the dust. That's a whole different story, see. And then he breathed to him the breathings of lives. You were there. He breathed into him the breathings of lives, and Adam became a living soul. Hayah, nefesh, a living soul. And there's where our life came into the world, right there. But the earth that Adam was created like. So then when Jesus was created like the first child, God was his father, but he literally brought himself into the world. But he also became related to the dirt that he created Adam like, and that Adam would become dirt. He was created like it, but he would become dirt in his death. His body would go to the dirt. Okay? He's going to redeem that dirt. Every bit of dirt, every particle of dirt in the whole universe, God's going to redeem. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to judge the world. The world had already been judged, hadn't it? We already had the infection of sin. We're already going to die. You know, the Muslim world, they don't believe that you're responsible for Adam's sin at all. Did you know that? They're not responsible for Adam's sin according to them. I got a little bit of problem with that. If they weren't responsible for Adam's sin, guess what? None of them would have ever died. Mm-hmm. How many Muslims have died? 100%. They're all going to die. So that theology doesn't walk, does it? They're not going to work. Every person that was born in this world died except for two. Who are the two? Enoch and Elijah. That's the only two that didn't. They're a type of the rapture. They were taken up. Okay? For God did not send his Son into the world to judge the world, but that the world should be saved through him by the agency of him. Colossians, the first chapter. Paul preaches John, the third chapter, in Colossians, the first chapter. That's beautiful. You go from John 3 to go Colossians 1. And also it's the same thing as what's in John 1 and 1. Through the whole first chapter. Verse number 18. He who believes in him is not judged. He who does not believe, he has already been judged because he has not believed in the name, in the authority of, in the power of, in the powerful miracles of, in the messianic credentials of, the only begotten Son of God. Verse number 19. And this is the judgment, that the light, remember, John uses light and darkness. Genesis uses light and darkness. Look at Genesis. Go back to Genesis again. In John, the third chapter, he's preaching the third chapter, well, the first chapter of Genesis. Genesis 1. It's so beautiful. Didn't bring my Hebrew Bible with me. It's better from Hebrew than it is in English. But I think I can remember some of it. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. In the beginnings, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth, she became formless and void. And darkness became over the faces of the deep. And Spirit God began to move over the faces of the waters. And God said there, let there become light. Who was the light? Who was the light before this? Who was the original light? No. Who was the original light of the universe? Hillel. Hillel. Satan. Lucifer was the light carrier. Lucifer. Anybody by the name of Luke today, that means Lucifer, which means light bearer. It's not a bad name. We have the gospel according to Luke. Lucifer. Gospel according to Lucifer. Okay, or Luke. All right. Luke or Lucifer means light bearer. Lucifer was the original light bearer, but then the earth that he was put over, the universe that he was put over, became darkness. So that every time we see darkness in the Bible, or blackness, like in Jude, the first chapter, in Peter, in his writings, the darkness stands for what? Satan's destruction. Satan's destruction. This is the judgment that light, the light that was in Genesis, the first chapter, and let there become light. And that light came from God's creative power, which was the sun. Okay. It's come into the cosmos, and men loved the darkness. These men loved the darkness rather than the light, for their deeds were twisted and evil and crooked and deceptive and rotten. That's what the word evil means there. Adam and Eve became rum, evil, like Satan was. Like the serpent was not created evil, but he became evil when he loaned his physical body to Lucifer. Verse number 20. For everyone who does evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who practices the truth comes to the light, and that his deeds may be manifest as having been wrought of God. That is a beautiful, beautiful chapter and verse we have. Do you have any questions on any of this? Connie, you got any questions about any of this? Young lady, you have any questions there? No. Linda? Rex? How about Brother Mike? My little resident theologian? Brother Bill? Bonnie? Nothing. All right. How about you, Nadine? You got any questions there? You didn't get all the class, but you got some of it. A lot of stuff in there. Brother Mike. Sharon. Sharon.
Antichrist. Is he already full-grown man and he knows he's going to be the Antichrist?
I'm sure that when he was born of Satan that he knew it.
How was he born? Was he born with a woman?
I know, but was she an evil one? God picked Mary. Satan's going to pick some Jewish girl. I don't know. All right. Loaned her body. Judas loaned his... Just like this person's going to be like Judas. Judas became evil because Judas wanted to become evil. You know, Judas is the only person in the Old Testament that the Old Testament prophesied that he would become. That's the only disciple that was prophesied in the Old Testament. That's Judas. All right. The only one. Yes, young lady.
Are you saying that he's already born?
I couldn't hear you.
Are you saying he's already born?
I don't know. He could be already born. Okay. Satan's son could already be born in the world. He could be. We know we're at the end of the church age, somewhere near the end of the church age. It may go on another 50 years. Who knows? But he may not. I'm not quite finished yet. any other questions? Did you have it, Sharon? Sharon? Yes.
On 13, where it says, no one has ascended into heaven, but he who descended from heaven, even the Son of Man. Uh-huh. Does that mean that we came from heaven also as believers? Or is that
when we are born again, the Spirit that is in us came from heaven, of course. Now, you have to realize that no one had come to heaven yet. Was heaven... How did heaven get... I mean, where was heaven at this time? This is before the cross of Calvary. Where was it? In paradise. And where was paradise? Somewhere near in what we call Sheol. One half of it was Hades, torments, and then the other was paradise or Abraham's bosom. Okay, you get that? Oh yes. Jason, do you have any questions? You have to learn something. Randy.
Maybe I'm not getting this.
They went to paradise. That's what I was just saying. They went to paradise, and that paradise was in Sheol. Sheol means the place asked about. Hades means the place not seen. But it was only now. Here is Abraham's bosom of paradise, and here is this is the place of torments. Okay, and there's a great gulf in between. Wherever this place was, they went here. But these people weren't redeemed until Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary. And even those that are raptured have to be redeemed, don't they? Or they won't get raptured. So you got to be born again. Now, Enoch and Elijah were a type of the rapture. By two or three witnesses, let everything be established. Well, we got two of them that were raptured, Enoch and Elijah. And yet, and they went to paradise. But they didn't go to the throne of God. Because now, since the resurrection of Jesus, He took all of those to the throne of God. So now you get to go to heaven when you die. Before, you got to go to Hades or Sheol. Yes, Randy.
Okay, this is not exactly what this, but they said Moses was taken and buried by God.
God buried him, yes. And then Satan tried to steal his body.
I never heard that.
Satan tried to steal his body. And Michael the archangel had to go stand against him. God... My teacher, Dr. Carl E. Farah, said that God loved Moses. He was the most humble man that ever was. And God took his life because he struck the rock, which was a type of Christ's second coming, not first coming. He was struck the first time. The second time, he speaks. He's supposed to speak to the rock the second time, which did violence to that type. Okay, now we could go into that a lot. But anyway... So God wouldn't let him go into the promised land, so he kissed him to death. He just kissed him, gave him the kiss of death, and put him to sleep. And he was 120 years old, yet he was like a young man still. All right.
The people that were in paradise, were they brought up when Jesus was born?
I think all of them were brought up, to tell you the truth, and they were all taken into heaven. All right? Thank you for your attention. I know you must have liked this class if you didn't want to quit.
It was good. Remember, the Valentine's deal, it's coming up, guys. I'll be warning you every week that Valentine's coming up.